We continue with our sermon series this morning. We've been looking at our statement of purpose as a church. Now, a church is a specific kind of organization. It's not a government agency. It's not a social club. It's not a private club. It's a church with a capital C. Not just a building on a street, not bricks and mortar, or maybe more accurately, not primarily or only bricks and mortar, but a capital C church, living and active with a past and a future. It's bigger than ourselves, because we are part of the mission of God. The church has grown out of God's mission, out of his desire to reach the world. So be careful when you talk smack about the church. This is God's plan to reach the world, and you are part of that. We are all part of that. Now, God's purpose for the world was diverted. It was diverted because of disobedience long ago. And we can point at those people and we can blame them and say, if those people wouldn't have done what they did, we wouldn't be in this mess right now. But disobedience, unfortunately, is something that persists. It's always easy to point at someone else until you realize that you're not that much different. And we are not that much different than people long ago. It's something that grows out of people thinking that they are bigger and wiser than they really are. Bigger and wiser, as a matter of fact, than God himself. They think they know better and more than him. And in that whole attitude, the goodness and the wholeness that God planned and intended for his creation, for his creatures, for all of us, got lost. And so now he is working towards that end again, towards goodness and wholeness for everyone, for the world. And he does this, surprisingly, in and through and with the church. The church of all times and all places, capital C. And we as First Church, we are just a small part of that. And each one of these local churches, like ourselves, is given a task, is given a mission, has a purpose in a particular place at a particular time. Now, we, the leadership of First Church, has tried to summarize God's mission and his charge to us specifically with these words. At First CRC, we strive to be a loving community of Christian disciples who worship God faithfully, grow together intentionally, and serve our neighbors wholeheartedly. Today we look at the words, who worship God faithfully. Now, realize, as I certainly do, that you cannot exhaust teaching about worshiping God in one sermon. I know every Sunday I try, and some of you are watching, looking at your watch and saying, how long is this going to go on? I've tried to limit myself today. But we're at least going to make a start on what it means to worship God, to give some sort of shape to what we mean by worship and how worship fits into who God wants us to be and what God calls us to do. So let us now pray together to ask for clear minds and pure hearts as we do this. Father, we lay our lives before you. We lay our lives bare. We know that there's much in it that needs work. And we as a church are aware that our church needs work. Not the building, but we, your people, need work. Thank you that we have hope in Christ, and that we have an example in Christ, and that we have a Savior to do with us and for us what we cannot ever do on our own. Teach us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a few words before we even read the passage this morning. A loving community of Christian disciples who worship God faithfully. Let's make sure that we start that right. Who worship God faithfully. God is the proper object of our worship. Only God is the proper object of any kind of worship. Worship, you see, is a God-only word. It is reserved for Him alone. And we, in the world, get that wrong so often. We worship things, money, success, fame. We are always impressed when someone does well. We say, wow. We have idols and heroes, whether athletes, rock stars, or movie stars. We worship leaders and ideologies. We worship nature. I've heard this many times from people say, well, Pastor, the reason you didn't see me in church this morning is because we went out and we saw God in nature. Nice try. It's certainly possible. It is certainly possible to see the handiwork of God in nature, but don't equate nature with God. God is the one who created all things. He is not part of His creation. He is much more glorious and much more grand than that. All of this is worship that is misplaced and misdirected. Because the only right object, the only right direction of our worship is God. Christians, too, unfortunately, misdirect their worship, caring often more about theology and stewardship or social justice than about God. We make the mistake sometimes of talking about God rather than to God and bowing before Him. And it happens even in church, misplaced worship, when we care more about the music, the liturgy, the sermon, the proper way of worship, rather than the object of our worship, which is God. Period. Now, having said that, we can now look at our passage for today. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. This is the word of God. Now, this is short, just two verses. But as we will see, a surprisingly dense statement of what it means to worship God. Though tucked away in the letter's concluding remarks, the letter is almost finished, and here we find these verses. These verses are a profound statement about worship. Now, it helps me sometimes to picture a scripture reading. My brain works that way. I know many of you have already met me, and I try to attach a picture to your name. It helps me to remember who you are And sometimes this is comical, sometimes not. But it's just the way my brain works. And sometimes I do this then also with our scripture readings. I try to imagine what it would look like. Or you would diagram it, perhaps. Through Jesus, therefore, says our text. Now, this is a statement about the cross, about the work of Christ to reconcile us with God. It is what we just remembered here and celebrated in communion. Christ's sacrifice, his body and blood, given for us so that we can relate to God rightly once again. So that we can worship him again. We are made holy through what Jesus has done, so that we can once again approach the holy God without hindrance. The sacrifice of Jesus accomplished this. Notice that the sacrifice of Jesus, symbolized by the cross, provides a way for us to also talk about worship. Each of our two verses uses the language of sacrifice, and each addresses a different aspect of what it means to worship. Equally important, though different. So we're going to look at each of these in turn to broaden our understanding of what it means to worship. If we are, as a church, First Church, are a people who worship God faithfully, we better know what that is about, don't you think? So verse 15 refers to a sacrifice of praise. Do you know that song, by the way? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer sacrifice, thanksgiving, and we offer up to him the sacrifices of praise. Hey, we could have sang that this morning. Well, we did. The sacrifice of praise. We, together, let us, says the author of Hebrews. There is something communal about praising God. Praises are meant to be heard. Praises are meant to be shared. Praises are meant to be shouted. Praises are meant to be sung. Praises celebrate something. And celebration is always done with others. Have you ever tried New Year's Eve? You're all by yourself. And you watch the ball drop. Well, and you open and there's nobody else there. And it's just, it's a letdown, isn't it? There's nothing worse than experiencing something great and having no one to celebrate with. Notice also the other words that are used. Let us offer. Worship is a gift that you give. What could I possibly offer God, you might wonder? He's God! He has everything! You can offer him your praise. And then also notice the next word. Continually. Now, this might seem a difficult task to some of you. The thought of singing eternally in heaven with harps and four-part harmonies might not thrill all of you. Elaine, maybe. But I think it is important that you get a sense of this. Have you ever met a new grandparent? Maybe you are one. They talk constantly of their newborn grandson or granddaughter. Do you want to see a picture? You mean other than the 2,000 other ones that you have already shown me? He cried. I'm sure he'll be a singer one day. She burped. I think she's going to be a chef. Or do you have a friend that just loves the Oilers, for example, who knows all the players and their stats and is excited for the next game even when this game hasn't even started yet? A diehard fan who never gives up hope for the next Stanley Cup streak. The point is, continually here is as much a description of a mindset as it is a description of a time frame. And the sacrifice of praise is not a sacrifice in the same way as cutting off your left arm would be, for example. That's usually what we think. We usually think of sacrifices as bloody, and then there's some reason why we think of sacrifice in that way. Of course, in the Old Testament, animals were brought up to the altar, and they were slaughtered, and the blood was sprinkled on the altar, and it was burned, and the incense would rise to the heavens, and the spilling of this blood would atone, would do away with our sin. Well, that is no longer necessary, of course, because we have had one final sacrifice, the blood of Jesus, that has put an end to all those sacrifices. But it's an image that then sticks in our minds. But a sacrifice of praise is not like that entirely. It is your willing offer, your gift to God, because you value Him. Now, praise is a funny thing. Not funny, ha-ha, but funny, odd. Praise flows and gushes sometimes. You just can't stop it like that grandparent. Often, I hope this is the case. When you think about God, I hope your soul sings and wants to praise. Because God is good. God is good. And all the time. But it doesn't mean that we always feel that in the same way. It could hurt sometimes to speak of a grandson or a granddaughter who makes a bad choice. Or a series of bad choices. It could hurt sometimes to mention your favorite sports team after an especially bad game or a long losing streak. But you don't stop loving and valuing them at that time. You stick with it. This is how our text says it. The fruit of lips, that is praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Openly and continually. I will speak of You, O Lord, for You are worthy. You are giver of life. You are sustainer in death. Good, good Father, lover of my soul. You gave Your life for me. I will forever praise You, my Savior and my God. Sometimes you have to reach deep, and sometimes it gushes. Then there's verse 16, a second aspect of worship. Do good and share with others. It is not something we associate readily with worship, perhaps, but the author of Hebrews ties it to singing praises to God and professing His name. Do not forget, he says, and don't just sing God's praises. Act on your words. Act out your praises in real and practical ways. If God is good, show His goodness to others. How are others who don't know God, how are they supposed to know? What should move them to praise God? We get all tied up into knots sometimes about evangelism and about how to talk about faith, and I'm not that kind of person. We struggle maybe with professing His name openly. It's something we need to work on as CRC people. We are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed. There's no need to be ashamed of the goodness of God. Sing His praises. Speak of Him. And be good. You'd be surprised if how goodness, how kindness, how graciousness, how generosity, how hospitality, how welcoming someone can communicate something about who you are and about what you profess. And sometimes if those words don't come easily from your lips, then let your hands and your feet do the talking. When someone walks into this place, meet them and say, "I don't think I've met you before." And people always, again, it blows me away because people say, "Well, I don't know what to say to people. I don't even know him." How about saying, "Hey, I don't think I know you. What's your name?" How about starting there and see what comes after that? Be good, do good, embrace with kindness. This, too, is an act of worship. Why do these things? The reason might surprise you. Because it pleases God. If you don't know what to give to God, be kind and good to others. And it's like God is receiving your gift. God says, "I don't really need that. I've got everything that I need, thank you. But I know someone who could use a little kindness and a little goodness, who would love and embrace. What can you give to the God of the universe? What could He possibly want from me? Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." This, too, is worship. But let me drive home a point here. It says, "And do not forget to do good and share with others." Worship is not one or the other. It is a both-and activity. You may be wired for singing praises. I know Anna Marie, Elaine, there are others that just naturally, this is who they are, this is what they do, this is what we call a spiritual gift. Those people are also called, outside of themselves, to give themselves to others, to leave that comfort spot of singing praises and speaking openly about His name. That is something that I don't have any trouble doing. But if that's your comfort zone, you're also called to do good and to share yourself with others. And vice versa, that is also true. You may find it easier to connect to other people, to interact with them, to show them mercy. You are also called to speak of God and sing praises to Him openly and with others. Worshiping God is a word and deed response to knowing and experiencing the love of God. It flows from your heart, through your lips, and into your hands and feet. It moves yourself, this part of you, in accord with others. There's no such thing as a lone worshiper. And it flows towards the stranger, who is likewise created in God's image and called to worship Him. Some of you may be taken aback by me saying there's no such thing as a lone worshiper. You may have remembered times when you were alone singing praises to Him. When that happens, you are joining the angels who are eternally praising God in the heavens. You are joining the church past, and you are joining the church that is yet to come. In Christ and in the body of Christ, you are never alone. Now, this is reflected in another way. Once, when Jesus was asked by a rule book kind of person trying to trap Jesus into diminishing the importance of God's law, they asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And they knew they were going to clobber him as soon as he answered. Because if he picked one law over another, they would say, so you don't care about the others. And Jesus' answer, maybe you know it, is now referred to as the summary of the law. He said two things: love God and love your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With everything you've got, give it to Him. Give your life to Him, your whole life to Him. Praise Him for who He is. Respond to Him in worship. Let praise rise from your heart. Give your soul to it. Dedicate your mind to it. And do it with all your strength. Worship, the praise of God, is a whole body response. I know this whole body fitness thing is a thing. Well, it was a thing much before it became a thing. Because we are called to a whole body response of praise to God Almighty. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be as concerned about the welfare of others as you are about your own welfare. I remember we were driving in Nigeria once, and in Nigeria, the rain it doesn't just rain, it pours. And it's like the heavens open up and everything falls at once. The water has no place to go, and it happens so quickly, and if you're carrying an umbrella, you're going to lose it because it'll just... And I remember being in the car, and we're driving to a market, and the heavens opened up and people scrambled. And my reaction was totally different than Anne-Marie's. I remember this distinctly. I was sitting in a car and I thought, nice and dry, look at all these people. And I was kind of laughing. I was glad I wasn't out there. And I looked over, and Anne Marie had, I don't know if she had tears, but she said, "Look at these poor people." This happened 20 some years ago. It sticks with me because it condemned me. I was happy for myself that I was high and dry. And Anne Marie was nothing but sad. That's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. At least it's partly what that means. Do good and share with others. This too is worship. Do not forget, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Serving others and speaking up for them as Christ spoke up and served us, remembered here this morning as communion, is an act of worship equal to the lips that profess and praise God. So, to summarize, if we, First Church, want to live out who we are according to our statement of purpose, then we are to make worship central to who we are and what we do, following Jesus, and then neglecting coming together to worship as a community of believers is not an option. Jesus is Savior and Lord, the way back to a right relationship with God and with each other, and He is the head of the church. The church is His bride. And He calls us His bride in His great love for us to worship, giving His own life for the cause. People of First Church, members, friends, guests, hangers-on, to worship God faithfully is to know God truly for who He is. Because if you know God, you will love Him deeply. If you know the depth of His love for you, you can do nothing else but to drop down on your knees and worship Him. It is to respond to Him from the heart in praise. And praise is another one of those words. What does it mean to praise? It means that you value, that you treasure, that you prize, that you enjoy, and that you're satisfied with God above all earthly things, more than the cottage. More than that truck you've been working on in your garage, or a station wagon, perhaps. And worship is to value the things He values. And what does that mean? Well, it means that you do good and share with others, because God values the world that He has made. This is who we are. This is what the blood of Jesus accomplished. We are His body, and as His body, we adore the God of life. Let us pray. God, You are good. And You are worthy of our praise. There is none like You. We have 10,000 reasons to give You praise. Amen.